This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So we were with Surah Al-Jinn, and I think we reached the verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى قال الله تعالى وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. وهذا المراد به المعصية الكفرية كما قيدتها النصوص الأخر المحكمة. وأما مجرد المعصية فإنه لا يوجب الخلود في النار كما دلت على ذلك آيات القرآن والأحاديث عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأجمع عليه سلف الأمة وأئمة هذه الأمة.
And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, for him is the fire of hell, to abide therein forever. What is meant here is disobedience or sin that is so great that it constitutes disbelief, as is clarified by other clear Quranic texts. As for mere sin, it does not lead to eternity in hell, as is indicated by the verses of the Quran, the hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the consensus of the early generations and leading scholars of this ummah.
Okay, so there's a beautiful principle here that Imam al-Sa'di highlights. Although if you read the surface meaning of the verse, again, this is not the literal meaning, but the surface first impression, it seems to suggest that he who disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then he will be in the hellfire. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. They will dwell in it eternally. So you can own the Quran. The scholars say Al Quran yusaddiqu ba'dahu ba'dahu. The Quran, it confirms each other, clarifies each verse, clarifies the rest. So the Quran works together, as Imam Ibn Hazm rahimahullah ta'ala says in his book Al Ihkam min Usul Al Ihkam, he says Al Quran jumlatun wahida. The Quran is one statement. The Quran is one statement. You can't just take one statement and draw a ruling from it. You have to look at the whole context. You have to look at all of the pertinent verses. What is the kind of complete meaning they bring together so that you get an understanding? This faulty approach is the approach of the Khawarij. They would take a verse from the Quran and they would apply it on the companions, radiallahu anhu. And that's how they made takfir on the companions, radiallahu anhu. So, radiallahu anhu. So again, you will find a lot of the enthusiastic, early practicing Muslims, like the youth sometimes, or people as soon as they start practicing and learn a little bit of things, they will start objecting. They will object to imams, they will criticize scholars, they will criticize madhabs and say, look at the madhab goes against the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. Not knowing that the ruling in this madhab is drawn probably from a huge number of verses and many ahadith whose meaning is brought together. But you don't see. You don't see because you don't know. And when you don't know, you should not speak. That's a very important etiquette. People speak too early in their career of learning Islam. Way, way too early. So people start criticizing, people start talking about principles under the pretext of al-amr bil-ma'ruf wa nahi anil munkar, when they have no connection to Al-Amr Ma'ruf and Nahi Al-Munkar, and they're not even qualified. You will actually hear statements from some young people or newly practicing people that will say, Imam so-and-so was wrong. They went against the hadith or against the meaning of the verse. You know, when something like that goes through your mind, you know that you are wrong before you open your mouth. Before you open your mouth. And we mentioned that. We mentioned that the standards that the scholars had for someone to open their mouth and talk about the religion have been extremely strict. And we mentioned previously Imam Ahmad that he was asked, الرجل يحفظ مئة ألف حديث أيفتي؟ قال لا. Said a man knows, has memorized 100,000 hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. Can he give fatwa? He said no. قال فمئتي ألف حديث مئتي ألف حديث قال لا. قال فثلاث ثلاث مئة ألف حديث قال لا. قال فأربعمائة حديث قال أرجو ذلك 400,000 he said maybe and there are hadith that you will find actually and I hear this sometimes from some of the youth something that oh Imam Ahmad he says this in Salah and there's a hadith that contradicts it so he goes against the hadith or probably Imam Ahmad did not hear about this hadith. You know what? You should pull your hair, wallah, when you hear something like that. And the hadith is in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad. And this person tells you, Imam, probably, maybe, Imam, giving him the benefit of the doubt, Imam Ahmad didn't know about this hadith. You see the issue sometimes and how shaitan messes with us. Shaitan sees you coming to the deen, he wants to get you into the wrong paths. He wants to get you to start thinking so high of yourself. And this is why tarbiyah is needed for the students of knowledge. It takes a long, 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 long time to understand how to draw meanings, conclusions, rulings from the text, from the Quran and the Sunnah. Somebody says, oh, you know, my native language is Arabic and I can draw. No, you can't. And you don't know how. And it's not as simple as you think. It's not as simple as you think. Okay, so this is a very important thing to keep in mind because oftentimes you will see that and it creates a lot of problems in masajid that someone would, you know, criticize the imam of a masjid. Say, oh, he's not acting by the sunnah, he's not doing by the sunnah, he's not going against the hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, this is not your place. This is literally not your place. Your responsibility is to purify your heart. Save yourself from the hellfire. Learn as much as you can the right way. And if you one day reach a level of possible ijtihad or reasoning with the ijtihad and the conclusions of the scholars, maybe you can start doing that under the supervision of someone who's more knowledgeable than you. Other than that, I would advise you don't waste your good deeds by engaging in something like that. Okay, because this is speaking about the deen of Allah without knowledge. Knowledge is not that you know hadith here or you know a verse here. That's not knowledge. That's the ABC of knowledge. Knowledge is way more complex and way more advanced than that. It takes more than this. Okay, so this is a beautiful example that Imam al-Sa'di points out. He says, المراد به المعصية الكفرية. What is intended in this verse, the sin that leads to be eternally in the hellfire, is a specific type of sin. And these are sins of disbelief. These are sins that unquestionably, undoubtedly constitute disbelief and kufr in them. Not any sin. And he says, how do we know that? كَمَا قَيَّدَتْهُ النُّصُوصُ الْأُخَرُ الْمُحْكَمَةِ Because this statement is qualified by other statements. النُّصُوصُ الْأُخْرَ قَيَّدَتْهَا There's in usul al-fiqh, and this is something we need to understand, there's al-mutlaq and there's al-muqayyad, there's al-am and there's al-khas. There are open statements, you know, that are, whose scope is limited by another verse. And you will find them in two different places of the Qur'an, and this is well known among the scholars. This is why Ibn Hazm said, al-Qur'anu kulluhu jumlatun wahida, aw nassun wahida. Al-Qur'an is one statement. Regardless of the distance between two statements, they work together. And one of the major rules in fiqh, in al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya that the scholars utilize in order to do fiqh, in order to draw conclusions, they would say, al-i'malu awla min al-ihmal, aw al-awla i'malu an-nusus kulliha fi al-mas'ala. Which is basically, that means you need to get all of the texts that feed into this matter in question. And try to get how they harmoniously work together. How they harmoniously work together and what is the conclusion that comes from the totality of them. And this requires a lot of training. A lot of training. Okay. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله حتى إذا رأوا ما يوعدون أي شاهدوه عيانا وجزموا أنه واقع بهم فسيعلمون في ذلك الوقت حقيقة المعرفة من أضعف ناصرا وأقل عددا حين لا ينصرهم غيرهم ولا أنفسهم ينتصرون وإذ يحشرون فرادا كما خلقوا أول مرة قل لهم إن سألوك فقالوا متى هذا الوعد إن أدري أقريب ما توعدون أم يجعل له ربي أمدا أي غاية طويلة فعلم ذلك عند الله عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيبه أحد من الخلق بل انفرد بعلم الضمائر والأسرار والغيب إلا من ارتضى من رسول أي فإنه يخبره بما اقتضت حكمته أن يخبره به وذلك لأن الرسل ليسوا كغيرهم فإن الله أيدهم بتأييده فإن الله أيدهم بتأييد ما أيده أحدا من الخلق وحفظ ما أوحاه إليهم حتى يبلغوه على حقيقته من غير أن تتخبطهم الشياطين ولا يزيد فيه أو ينقص ولهذا قال فإنه يسلك من بين يديه ومن خلفه رصدا أي يحفظونه بأمر الله ليعلم بذلك أن قد أبلغوا رسالات ربهم بما جعله لهم من الأسباب وأحاط بما لديهم أي بما عندهم وما أسروه وما أعلنوه وأحصى كل شيء عددا.
When they see what they were promised with their own eyes and they become certain that it will befall them, then they will realize, that is, they will know for certain who is weaker in support and fewer in numbers. When no one else will support them, nor will they be able to help themselves, because they will be gathered on each on his own as he was created in the beginning. Say to them, if they ask you, when will this promise come to pass? I do not know whether what you are promised is near or my Lord has set for it for a far off day. That is, or it is very far away. Knowledge of that is with Allah alone. Nor of the unseen. He does not disclose his unseen to anyone among his creation. Rather, he has kept it to himself alone, knowledge of all that is secret, hidden, and unseen. He does not disclose his unseen to anyone except a messenger whom he has chosen. That is, he tells him of whatever his wisdom dictates. That is, because the messengers are not like others, for Allah supports them as he does not support anyone else. And he preserved what he revealed to them so that they could convey it perfectly, without letting the devils confuse them or add anything to it or subtract anything from it. Hence Allah says, then he sends angels as guards to go before him and behind him, that is to protect him by Allah's command, so as to ascertain thereby that they, the messengers, have indeed conveyed the messages of their Lord by what he has made available to them of the means of doing so. He encompasses in his knowledge all their affairs, that is, all that they have and all that they conceal or disclose, and he keeps count of all things.
قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى وفي هذه السورة فوائد كثيرة منها وجود الجن وأنهم مكلفون مأمورون مكلفون منهيون مجازون بأعمالهم كما هو صريح في هذه السورة ومنها أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رسول إلى الجن كما هو رسول إلى الإنس فإن الله صرف نفر الجن ليستمعوا ما يوحى إليه ويبلغوا قومهم ومنها ذكاء الجن ومعرفتهم بالحق وأن الذي ساقهم إلى الإيمان هو ما تحققوه من هداية القرآن وحسن أدبهم وحسن أدبهم في خطابه ومنها اعتناء الله برسوله وحفظه لما جاء به صلى الله عليه وسلم فحين ابتدأت بشائر نبوته والسماء محروسة بالنجوم والشياطين قد هربت من أماكنها وأزعجت عن مراصدها وأن الله رحم به الأرض وأهلها رحمة ما يقدر لها قدر وأراد بهم ربهم رشدا فأراد أن يظهر من دينه وشرعه ومعرفته في الأرض ما تبتهج له القلوب وتفرح به أولو الألباب وتظهر به شعائر الإسلام وينقمع به أهل الأوثان والأصنام ومنها شدة حرص الجن لاستماع الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم وتراكمهم عليه ومنها أن هذه السورة قد اشتملت على الأمر بالتوحيد والنهي عن الشرك وبينت حالة الخلق وأن كل أحد منهم لا يستحق من العبادة مثقال ذرة لأن الرسول محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا كان لا يملك لأحد نفعا ولا ضرا بل ولا يملك لنفسه علم أن الخلق كلهم كذلك فمن الخطأ والغلط اتخاذ من هذا وصفه إلها آخر مع الله ومنها أن علوم الغيب قد انفرد الله بعلمها فلا يعلمها أحد من الخلق إلا من ارتضاه الله وخصه بعلم شيء منها تم تفسير سورة قل أوحي إلي ولله الحمد.
We learn many things from this surah, including the following. that the jinn exist and that they are accountable, subject to divine commands and prohibitions, and will be requited for their deeds, as is clearly stated in this surah. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger to the jinn, as he was a messenger to humankind. Therefore, Allah sent a group of the jinn to listen to what was revealed to him and to convey it to their people. The jinn are intelligent and able to learn about the truth. What made them believe was that they understood of the guidance of the Quran because of their good manners in discussing the issue of the Quran among themselves. Allah cared for His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and preserved what the Messenger brought. When the signs of His impending prophethood began to appear, that was when the heaven began to be guarded by shooting stars, and the devils fled from it and were sent away from their listening posts. For Allah showed inestimable mercy towards the earth and its inhabitants, and their Lord wanted to guide them. So He wanted His religion and law to prevail, and wanted the people of the earth to know Him, so that their hearts might be filled with joy. People of understanding might rejoice at that, the rituals of Islam might begin to prevail, and the worshippers of idols might begin to be suppressed. The jinn were very keen to listen to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they crowded around him. This surah contains the command to affirm Allah's oneness and the prohibition on ascribing partners to Him. It explains the condition of creation and that none of creation deserves even an atom's weight of worship. Because if it is the case that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no power to bring benefits or cause harm even for himself, then it is known that all of creation is also like that. Therefore, it is wrong to take such a creature as a god alongside Allah. Allah alone has knowledge of the unseen, so no one among creation has any knowledge of it except one with whom Allah is pleased and whom He has singled out for something of that knowledge.
So with this, inshallah, we move to Surah Nuh, Tafsir Surah Nuh. قال الإمام السعدي رحمه الله تعالى تفسير سورة نوح عليه السلام وهي مكية. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أرسلنا نوحا إلى قومه أن أنذر قومك إلى آخر السورة لم يذكر الله في هذه السورة سوى قصة نوح وحدها لطول لبثه في قومه وتكرار دعوته إلى التوحيد ونهيه عن الشرك فأخبر تعالى أنه أرسله إلى قومه رحمة بهم وإنذارا لهم من عذاب الله الأليم خوفا من استمرارهم على كفرهم فيهلكهم الله هلاكا أبديا ويعذبهم عذابا سرمديا فامتثل نوح عليه السلام لذلك وابتدر لأمر الله فقال يا قوم إني لكم نذير مبين أي واضح النذارة بينها وذلك لتوضيحه ما أنذر به وما أنذر عنه وبأي شيء تحصل النجاة بيّن جميع ذلك بيانا شافيا فأخبرهم وأمرهم بزبدة ما يأمرهم به فقال أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وذلك بإفراده تعالى بالتوحيد والعبادة والبعد عن الشرك وطرقه ووسائله فإنهم إذا اتقوا الله غفر ذنوبهم وإذا غفر ذنوبهم حصل لهم النجاة من العذاب والفوز بالثواب.
تفسير سورة نوح. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In this surah, Allah does not mention anything other than the story of Nuh because of his lengthy stay among his people, repeatedly calling them to affirm the oneness of Allah and forbidding them to ascribe partners to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he sent him to his people out of mercy towards them, to warn them of the painful punishment of Allah, lest they persist in their disbelief and Allah destroy them once and for all and subject them to an eternal punishment. Nuh alayhi salam complied and hastened to obey the command of his Lord. So he said, O my people, verily I am a clear warner to you. That is, my warning is clear. He explained what he was warning them about and what the consequences would be if they paid no heed, and the means of attaining salvation. He explained all of that in a very clear manner. Then he told them about the main points of his call and enjoined that upon them, as he said, Worship Allah alone and fear Him by affirming His oneness and devoting worship only to Him and keeping away from polytheism and the ways and means that lead to it. For if they feared Allah, He would forgive their sins. And if He forgave their sins, they would be safe from punishment and would attain reward.
So in Sahih Bukhari from Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhuma,
قال كان بين آدم ونوح عشرة قرون كلهم على التوحيد. Between Adam عليه السلام and Nuh عليه السلام, there are 10 generations or 10 centuries. Okay, so depending on what generation, قرون is sometimes interpreted as centuries and sometimes interpreted as generations. كان بين آدم ونوح عشرة قرون كلهم على التوحيد فاجتالتهم الشياطين. Then the shayateen turned them away from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Another narration mentions how it started, the worship started, is that there were righteous people. There were people who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And people used to benefit from them, the crowds used to benefit from them. Then they died. When they died, shayateen came to them, shaitan came to them, and he said, you know, you should probably, you know, make statues of those people to remind you of their righteousness so that you can emulate them, so you can follow their example. They can remind you of them. So the idea appealed to them, and they started making statues, creating statues of the images of those righteous people, dead people. So it started with what? Originally what seems to be like good intention, like something good, remind us of their righteousness so we can actually worship Allah, we can emulate them. Then, when that generation died, the later generation, Shaitan came to them and he said that these are the statues or the images of those righteous people, and they started to hold them in higher esteem and attribute to them greater qualities. And eventually, they started worshipping them. They started worshipping them. But worshipping them besides Allah. And Allah mentions about some of the mushrikeen, قَالُوا مَا نَعْبُدُهُمْ إِلَّا لِيُقَرِّبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ زُلْفَى. They said, we worship them so that they bring us closer to Allah. They are intermediaries between us and Allah. It's not like we worship them as gods. They are not gods. We're not attributing to them, you know, the qualities of Allah, but they are intermediaries. Allah calls this shirk. And unfortunately, you have Muslims, unfortunately, you know, again, doing that or treating the graves of righteous people and peers in that way. So they would build mausoleums and mosques over masajid, over the graves, and sometimes, obviously, end up asking of the dead person or rubbing their hands and their body against the grave. Why? Thinking there is blessings, special blessings. All of this either shirk or leads to shirk and should be avoided. Should be avoided. The Prophet ﷺ said, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى اتَّخَذُوا قُبُورَ أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ مَسَاجِدٍ. May Allah's curse be upon the Jews and the Christians. They have taken the graves of their prophets and messengers as places of worship. The Prophet ﷺ said also, اللهم لا تجعل قبري وثنا يعبد. Oh Allah, don't turn my grave. Don't let my grave turn into something worshipped besides you. So this is something that has to be protected, tawheed. Because that's what enters people into paradise. You don't want to compromise on this. So whatever in Muslim countries or Muslim majority countries where you will find any kind of glorification of the graves, treatment of the graves and the people of the graves, any special treatment other than the treatment of dead people, then this starts to take the Muslims away from Tawheed, getting them closer to Bid'ah and eventually into Shirk. So it should be completely avoided. Okay, قال الإمام السعدي أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى أي يمتعكم في هذه الدار ويدفع عنكم الهلاك إلى أجل مسمى أي مقدر البقاء في الدنيا بقضاء الله وقدره إلى وقت محدود وليس المتاع أبدا فإن الموت لا بد منه ولهذا قال إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون لما كفرتم بالله وعاندتم الحق فلم يجيبوا لدعوته ولا انقادوا لأمره فقال شاكيا لربه رب إني دعوت قومي ليلا ونهارا فلم يزدهم دعائي إلا فرارا أي نفورا عن الحق وإعراضا فلم يبق لذلك فائدة لأن فائدة الدعوة أن يحصل جميع المقصود أو بعضه وإني كلما دعوتهم لتغفر لهم أي لأجل أن يستجيبوا فإذا استجابوا غفرت لهم فكان هذا محض مصلحتهم ولكنهم أبوا إلا تماديا على باطلهم ونفورا عن الحق
وجعلوا أصابعهم في آذانهم حذر سماع ما يقول لهم نبيهم نوح عليه السلام، واستغشوا ثيابهم أي تغطوا بها غطاء يغشاهم وبعدا عن الحق وبغضا له، وأصروا على كفرهم وشرهم واستكبروا على الحق استكبارا، فشرهم ازداد وخيرهم بعد.
And give you respite for an appointed term, that is, give you time to enjoy life in this world, and ward off death from you until the appointed time. In other words, the length of your stay in this world is in accordance with the will and decree of Allah, until a specified time. Worldly enjoyment is not eternal, for death is inevitable. Hence Allah says, verily, when the time appointed by Allah comes, no reprieve can be given, if only you knew. When you disbelieved in Allah and stubbornly rejected the truth and did not respond to his call or submit to his command. Nuh said, complaining to his Lord, that is, they only increased in aversion towards the truth, and there is no longer any benefit in calling them, for the benefit of calling is to achieve all or some of what is intended. Every time I call them, so that you may forgive them, that is, so that they may respond, for if they respond, you will forgive them. So this is in their interests alone. But they refuse to do anything other than persisting in their falsehood and in their aversion towards the truth. They put their fingers in their ears so that they would not hear what their Prophet Nuh alayhi salam was saying to them, and cover themselves with their garments, that is, they cover themselves with them in order to conceal themselves, fleeing from the truth and out of resentment towards it. They are persisting in their disbelief and evil, and are too arrogant to follow the truth, so their evil will increase and they are unlikely to seek good.
قال ثم إني دعوتهم جهارا أي بمسمع منهم كلهم، ثم إني أعلنت لهم وأسررت لهم إسرارا، كل هذا حرص ونصح وإتيانهم بكل باب يظن أن يحصل منه المقصود، فقلت استغفروا ربكم أي اتركوا ما أنتم عليه من الذنوب واستغفروا الله منها، إنه كان غفارا كثير المغفرة لمن تاب واستغفر، فرغبهم بمغفرة الذنوب وما يترتب عليها من حصول الثواب واندفاع العقاب، ورغبهم أيضا بخير الدنيا العاجل، فقال يرسل السماء عليكم مدرارا أي مطرا متتابعا يروي الشعاب والوهاد ويحيي البلاد والعباد، ويمددكم بأموال وبنين أي يكثر أموالكم التي تدركون بها ما تطلبون من الدنيا وأولادكم، ويجعل لكم جنات ويجعل لكم أنهارا، وهذا من أبلغ ما يكون من لذات الدنيا ومطالبها، ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا. Yes, you can read now.
Moreover, I have called them openly so that they could all hear. I have addressed them in public and spoken to them in private. All of that was because I was very keen and sincere, and I tried by all means to achieve the goal. I said, seek the forgiveness of your Lord. Give up what you are committing of sins and ask Allah to forgive you for them. For verily He is oft forgiving and abundantly forgives the one who repents and seeks forgiveness. He sought to encourage them by telling them of the forgiveness of sins and what would result from that of attaining the reward and warding off punishment. He also encouraged them by telling them of good results in this world, as He said, He will send down upon you abundant rain from the sky, that is, ongoing rain, which will reach the mountain passes and valleys and give life to the land and the people, and will bestow upon you wealth and offspring, that is, He will increase your wealth by means of which you will attain what you want of worldly pleasures, and will increase you in offspring, and provide you with gardens and rivers. This is the utmost of what one would like and seek in this world.
So we see that Prophet Nuh alayhi salam approached his people in different ways, various ways. Sometimes he would invite them in public, the majority of them, or the totality of them. He would approach them individually, privately. So he used all types of da'wah. Sometimes he would encourage them and promise them of the reward of Allah. Sometimes he would try to strike fear of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he experimented with all possible ways of rationalizing with them, trying to see if there is any door open into their hearts. And that's from his sincerity and his concern for people.
And you will find in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the prophets, or the prophets would describe themselves, يَا قَوْمِ إِنِّي نَاصِحٌ لَكُمْ إِنِّي لَكُمْ نَاصِحٌ أَمِينٌ. That I just want the good for you. That's all I want. I'm not asking for any reward. I'm not asking for any benefit. I don't want anything in return. I just want good for you. Nasih. Nasih is purity of the heart. My heart is pure towards you. All I want is good for you. So there's no reason to have any doubts about me or to be resistant. But subhanAllah, how would they respond? They would respond by putting their fingers in their ears. To add insult to injury, they would put, you know, their fingers in their ears. Just even, that's to go to extremes. Like, not only they're not even paying attention to what he says, or not only they are showing resistance, but they are also showing, you know, a physical sign that we don't even care. We don't even want to listen to you. We don't want to hear what you're saying. So that's just to make things worse and just to demonstrate their rejection. That we don't want you. We don't want your call. We don't want your da'wah. Don't come near us. And also, and they would turn their garments above their heads. They would wrap their heads with their own thawb. Why? Meaning like, and you know, sometimes children do that. If you try to speak to a child and they don't want to listen to you, they'll put their fingers in their ears, or they will put their, you know, whatever they had, their jacket over their head. Meaning, you know, hopefully you'll give up. Just to give you a clear demonstration, you know, leave me alone. So that's exactly what they were doing. But subhanAllah, he was concerned. And one of the beautiful demonstrations here is that he would promise them of the forgiveness of Allah and the reward of Allah, and he would also promise them of what? Of the benefits of faith in this dunya. يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُم مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُم بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. If you truly worship Allah, Allah would send showers upon you, rain that would create abundance, that would cause vegetation, growth of fruits, vegetables. Is this a valid form of da'wah? It should not be the main form of da'wah. It can be a supplement only when needed. People should follow the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because Allah deserves to be worshipped first and foremost. That's the highest degree. Call them to the tawheed, to the worship, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who deserves to be worshipped. Because that's the ultimate truth. Then you supplement that with the promise of paradise, the reward in paradise. And you also supplement that with fear of the punishment in the hellfire. And when needed, or when you sense that this is going to help, you can utilize the benefits of iman in this life. Because subhanAllah, faith and iman and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings benefit not only in the hereafter, but even in this world. لا يصلح أمر الدنيا والآخرة إلا بعبادة الله وحده. ولو أن أهل الكتاب آمنوا واتقوا لفتحنا عليهم بركات من السماء والأرض. Had the people of the scripture and the book, they have, ولو أنهم أقاموا التوراة والإنجيل وما أنزل إليهم من ربهم لأكلوا من فوقهم ومن تحت أرجلهم. Had two verses in the Quran. Had the people of the book acted on the guidance, the scripture that was given to them truly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have provided them from above and from below. And they would have eaten from everywhere around them. These are the fruits of faith. Yes, Allah gives and Allah yields. And there are narrations that at the time of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, these are historical narrations, not hadith. We don't criticize them as hadith. They are found in the books of history. That during the khilafah of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, the abundance in the national resources was beyond imagination. Was beyond imagination. To the point that rich people had zakah, would give it out and no one would take it. Everyone was rich. Everyone was fulfilled. Everyone had more than enough. Some books of history, again, these are not hadith, some books of history mentioned that some people found like a sack of wheat grains that were way bigger than the normal size. And it was written, this was the size of wheat grains during the Khilafah of fi zaman al-Adli, during the time of justice, when justice was established during the Khilafah of Umar ibn al-Aziz. But we have authentic hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when al-Mahdi rules And when the believers rule the earth towards the end of time, after Al-Masih alayhi salam descends and Al-Mahdi is there, who comes from the progeny of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, فَتُخْرِجُ الْأَرْضُ خَيَرَاتِهَا وَبَرَكَتَهَا. The earth brings about its, like, its blessings. حَتَّى إِنَّ الرَّحْطَ إِنَّ الرَّحْطَ لَيَتَظَلَّلُونَ. I forgot the exact wording of the hadith, but a group of people, الرَّحْط are from 3 to 9 people, they could take shade in the skin of one pomegranate, one fruit. That's how big a fruit would be. And this is authentic. This is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards the end of time. Why? Because when the Islam is established, all the blessings come out. Everything is blessed. So it's okay. When there is a need, when you sense that it could actually help people open their hearts to the truth, you could actually use the benefits of faith in this dunya. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say to the Quraysh, قولوا لا إله إلا الله كلمة تملكون بها العرب واللهجة. Prophet ﷺ knows that Quraysh are so proud of themselves and their leadership. They love that. The Prophet ﷺ, after giving them da'wah and reminding them of Allah, he supplemented that with what? One word, you say it and you would have authority over the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Prophet ﷺ, knowing that this would open the hearts of the people of Quraysh. Somebody might say, but this is about the sincerity issue. No, when that's done right, for the sake of Allah, it could be the switch that opens someone's heart. And after the Ghazwat Hunayn, the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims, you know, got a lot of spoils of war from Thaqif and Hawazin. And the Prophet ﷺ gave a lot of the new Muslims from Fatih Makkah. People just became Muslim. And the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنِّي لَأُعْطِي الرَّجُلُ وأبغضه أعطيه مخافة أن يدخل النار. That I give a person, and I don't like this person, I despise their person for their manners, but they have become Muslim from the people of Quraysh, and I give them out of fear that they go to the hellfire. I'm protecting this person from the hellfire, that I know when I give these people, I'm attracting them to Islam. Does that go against sincerity? No. Because who's doing it? The Prophet ﷺ, who understands the hearts. But this obviously needs to be done with a very careful measure and in the right place. And we have actually indications. Wallahi khawaftni ya rajul ra'abni, Allah yahdik. Allah yasamhak. Habat al qalbi wallah. خير إن شاء الله. Okay, let's continue. قال hopefully إن شاء الله we'll finish. ما لكم لا ترجون لله وقارا أي لا تخافون لله عظمة وليس لله عندكم قدر وقد خلقكم أطوارا أي خلقا من بعد خلق في بطن الأم ثم في الرضاع ثم في سن الطفولة ثم التمييز ثم الشباب ثم إلى آخر ما وصل إليه الخلق فالذي انفرد بالخلق والتدبير البديع متعين أن يفرد بالعبادة والتوحيد وفي ذكر ابتداء خلقهم تنبيه لهم على الإقرار بالمعاد وأن الذي أنشأهم من العدم قادر على أن يعيدهم بعد موتهم. واستدل أيضا عليهم بخلق السماوات التي هي أكبر من خلق الناس فقال ألم تروا كيف خلق الله 7 سماوات طباقا كل سماء فوق الأخرى وجعل القمر فيهن نورا لأهل الأرض وجعل الشمس سراجا ففيه تنبيه على عظم خلق الله الأشياء وكثرة المنافع في الشمس والقمر الدالة على رحمته وسعة إحسانه
فالعظيم الرحيم يستحق أن يعظم ويحب ويعبد ويخاف ويرجى. والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا حين خلق أباكم وأنتم في صلبه، ثم يعيدكم فيها عند الموت ويخرجكم إخراجا للبعث والنشور، فهو الذي يملك الحياة والموت والنشور. والله جعل لكم الأرض بساطا، أي مبسوطة مهيئة للانتفاع بها، لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا، فلولا أنه بسطها لما أمكن ذلك، بل ولا أمكنهم حرثها وغرسها وزرعها والبناء والسكون على ظهرها. قال نوح شاكيا لربه: إن هذا الكلام والوعظ والتذكير ما نجع فيهم ولا أفاد، إنهم عصوني فيما أمرتهم به واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا، أي عصوا الرسول الناصح الدال على الخير واتبعوا الملأ والأشراف الذين لم تزدهم أموالهم ولا أولادهم إلا خسارا، أي هلاكا وتفويتا للأرباح، فكيف بمن انقاد لهم وأطاعهم ومكروا مكرا كبارا، أي مكرا كبيرا بليغا في معاندة الحق. وقالوا لهم: دعين إلى الشرك مزينين له، لا تذرن آلهتكم، فدعوهم إلى التعصب على ما هم عليه من الشرك وأن لا يدعوا ما عليه آباؤهم الأقدمون، ثم عينوا آلهتهم فقالوا: ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. وهذه الأسماء رجال صالحون، وهذه أسماء رجال صالحين، لما ماتوا زين الشيطان لقومهم أن يصوروا صورهم لينشطوا بزعمهم على الطاعة إذا رأوها، ثم طال الأمد وجاء غير أولئك، فقال لهم الشيطان: إن أسلافكم يعبدونهم ويتوسلون بهم وبهم يسقون المطر، فعبدوهم، ولهذا أوصى رؤساؤهم للتابعين لهم أن لا يدعوا عبادة هذه الآلهة.
What is the matter with you that you do not fear the majesty of Allah? That is, why do you not fear Allah's greatness and why do you not have any respect for him? When he has created you in stages, that is, stage after stage, in the mother's womb, then when being breastfed, then in infancy, then at the age of discernment, then at the age of youth, until the end of whatever one reaches in life, the one who alone is the creator and controller must be the only one to be worshipped. By mentioning the beginning of their creation, Allah points out to them that they should believe in the resurrection and the hereafter, and that the one who created them from nothing is able to recreate them after their death. He also cites as proof to them that the creation of heaven of the heavens, which is a far greater matter than the creation of people, as he says, "Do you not see how Allah has created the seven heavens, one above another, that is, each heaven is above another, and has placed the moon therein as a light for the inhabitants of the earth, and has placed the sun as a lamp?" This highlights the greatness of the creation of these things, and the many benefits that are found in the sun and moon are indicative of Allah's mercy and great kindness. The Almighty, Most Merciful, deserves to be venerated, loved, and worshipped, and to be the focus of fear and hope. Allah has produced you from the earth in a wondrous manner when He created your father Adam and you were in his loins. Then He will return you to it when you die, and He will bring you forth once again for the resurrection. For it is He who has the power to give life, cause death, and resurrect. Allah has spread out the earth for you, that is, He has prepared it so that you may benefit from it, so that you may traverse its spacious paths, that is, were it not for the fact that He has spread it out, this would not be possible. In fact, you would not be able to till it, plant it, cultivate it, build structures, and live on its surface. Nuh said, complaining to his Lord, "These words and this exhortation and reminder have not succeeded with them, and have been to no avail. They have disobeyed me in what I have enjoined upon them, and have followed those whose wealth and children have only increased them in loss. That is, they have disobeyed the sincere messenger who showed them the way of good, and they have followed the chiefs and nobles whose wealth and children have only increased them in loss, which is doom, and caused them to miss out on gains. So how about those who submitted to them and obeyed them? They have put tremendous effort into plotting and scheming. That is, they have gone to extremes in stubbornly opposing the truth. They said to them, calling them to ascribe partners to Allah and making doing so fair-seeming, "Do not forsake your gods." Thus they called them to persist in what they were following of polytheism in a fanatical manner, and not to forsake the path of their forefathers. Then they mentioned their gods by name, saying, Do not forsake Wad, Suwa, Yaghuth, Ya'uq, and Nasr. These were the names of righteous men. When they died, the shaitan made fair seeming to their people the idea of making images of them so as to motivate them, as they claim, to do acts of obedience and worship when they saw them. But with the passage of time, as other people came along, the shaitan said to them, your predecessors used to worship them and seek divine help and seek rain through them. So they began to worship them. Hence their leaders urged their followers not to forsake the worship of these gods.
Okay. Then عندك. طب أعطينا شوية وقت. إن شاء الله نخلص قبل الوقت بإذن الله. قال وقد أضلوا كثيرا أي وقد أضل الكبار والرؤساء بدعوتهم كثيرا من الخلق ولا تزيد الظالمين إلا ضلالا أي لو كان ضلالهم عند دعوة إياهم بحق لكان مصلحة ولكن لا يزيدون بدعوة الرؤساء إلا ضلالا أي فلم يبق محل لنجاحهم ولا لصلاحهم ولهذا ذكر الله عذابهم وعقوبتهم الدنيوية والأخروية فقال مما خطيئاتهم أغرقوا في اليم الذي أحاط بهم فأدخلوا نارا فذهبت أجسادهم في الغرق وأرواحهم للنار والحرق وهذا كله بسبب خطيئاتهم التي أتاهم نبيهم نوح ينذرهم عنها ويخبرهم بشؤمها ومغبتها فرفضوا ما قال حتى حل بهم النكال فلم يجدوا لهم من دون الله أنصارا ينصرونهم حين نزل بهم الأمر الأمر ولا أحد يقدر يعارض القضاء والقدر وقال نوح رب لا تذر على الأرض من الكافرين ديارا يدور على وجه الأرض وذلك السبب في وذكر السبب في ذلك فقال إنك إن تذرهم يضلوا عبادك ولا يلدوا إلا فاجرا كفارا أي بقاؤهم مفسدة محضة لهم ولغيرهم وإنما قال نوح عليه السلام ذلك لأنه مع كثرة مخالطته إياهم ومزاولته لإخلاقهم علم بذلك نتيجة أعمالهم لا جرم أن الله استجاب دعوته فأغرقهم أجمعين ونجى نوحا ومن معه من المؤمنين رب اغفر لي ولوالدي ولمن دخل بيتي مؤمنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنة خص المذكورين لتأكد حقهم وتقديم برهم ثم عمم الدعاء فقال وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات ولا تزيد الظالمين إلا تبارا أي خسارا ودمارا وهلاكا تم تفسير سورة نوح عليه السلام والحمد لله.
They have led many astray. That is, the leaders and prominent figures led many people astray with their call. So do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but destruction. That is, there is no room for them to be guided or reformed. Therefore, Allah mentions their punishment in this world and the hereafter, as He says, because of their sins they were drowned in the sea that surrounded them, and were doomed to suffer the punishment of fire. So their bodies were lost to the sea, and their souls were lost to the fire. All of this was because of their sins, about which their prophet Nuh alayhi salam came to warn them and to tell them of the bad consequences thereof. But they rejected what he said until the exemplary punishment befell them. And they did not find any helpers to protect them from the punishment of Allah, to help them when the punishment befell them, for no one could oppose the divine will and decree. Nuh said, my Lord, do not leave on earth a single living soul from among the disbelievers to walk upon the face of the earth. And he mentioned the reason for that, as he said, for if you leave them, they will mislead your slaves and will beget none but wicked disbelievers. That is, the remaining is purely detrimental to them and others. Nuh alayhi salam only said that because after mixing with them a great deal and because of what he had experienced of their manners and attitude, he had reached that conclusion based on what he knew of their misdeeds. No wonder Allah responded to his prayer and drowned them all, but he saved Nuh and the believers who were with him. My Lord, forgive me and my parents, and whoever enters my house as a believer. These people are singled out for mention because their rights are emphasized, and they have priority when it comes to showing kindness. Then he made his supplication more general and said, and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but ruin, that is, loss, destruction, and doom.
جزاك الله خيرا سبحان الله إن شاء الله next week بإذن الله تعالى we're gonna talk a little bit about the دعوة of نوح عليه السلام. It's such a beautiful دعوة, how he links توحيد الربوبية with توحيد الألوهية, Allah's lordship with his worship, such an exemplary way of putting it, and there is so many lessons to learn. We're gonna probably spend about 5 to 10 minutes إن شاء الله next time before we start just talking about that, and again our حلقة is going to be after Maghrib بإذن الله تعالى. So if you guys are able to make your way here as quickly as possible after Maghrib, so we utilize the time, make use of the time. جزاكم الله خيرا.
See you next week بإذن الله. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.